我要摇一摇，我要摇一摇。
I am Katie Kandarian Morris, and I welcome you to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Durango. In these hurting times where we are experiencing grief and a new world, it feels good to be together, to respond to the world's heartache and reform with our liberal religious values. Our determination to create and uphold community is essential in times of trouble and trauma. As Unitarian Universalists, our radical roots and history as self-motivated spiritual people who think for ourselves and recognize that life experience influences our beliefs more than anything. The covenant we share gives rise to becoming people of love and trust. Today, as we move into prayer, we'll begin today's prayer with words from Reverend Teresa Soto in their meditation manual titled Spilling the Light. And after I share these words, I'll invite us into prayer together. Bring your broken hallelujah here. Bring the large one that is beyond repair. Bring the small one that's too soft to share. Bring your broken hallelujah here. I know that people have told you that before you can give, you have to get yourself together. They overstated the value of perfection by a lot, or they forgot. You are the gift. We all bring some broken things, songs and dreams and long lost hopes. But here together we reach within. As a community, we begin again. And from the pieces, we will build something new. There is work only you can do. We wait for you. Now, won't you join me in prayer? God of many names and none at all, there is brokenness in me and around me. Yet I feel the strength of gathering all of this brokenness together. The many names we lift up as victims of injustice, more than names, they were imperfect and full people like us. Let us not see ourselves outside of the brokenness, but as beautiful pieces ready to create together the beautiful new mosaic of love. We are in need of love today. May we hold silence for just a moment. And may we say, hallelujah, amen, and blessed be. There's a connection between the ceremony of the flower communion celebrated in Unitarian Universalist congregations everywhere, the horrid death of Norbert Chopek by gassing in a Nazi concentration camp. Imprisoned he was because of the threat of his message of love and diversity. There's a connection to the uprisings of people rising up to call out the inherent worth and dignity of Black people who have been beaten down, violently traumatized, who have lived for generations in a culture of fear and oppression. Chopek created a ritual of beauty, flowers to symbolize a celebration of our differences, not to mute them into sameness of pale shades of gray, a movement much bigger and bolder, but like that exquisite bouquet is happening right now, this movement. As Unitarian Universalists, since our inception, we've been a majority white progressive movement. In our early years, when we were two separate denominations, we were striving as abolitionists, as allies, as reformers. Then later, working for what MLK termed the beloved community, which is that hopeful thing out there on the horizon. And yet a Unitarian Universalist colleague, the Reverend Karen Hutt, a Black woman my age, inquires, if we are truly progressing toward that society that is to come, why is suffering increasing at such an alarming rate? Borrowing language from the Me Too movement in her prophetic message, speaking against a feeble kind of hoping and praying, she notifies us, time's up. Reverend Karen preached a week ago at First Universalist Church in Minneapolis, the city where George Floyd was murdered. After recounting the generational stories of the horrors of Karen's direct ancestors, the horrors that they endured, and then the continued anguish of her own life, one period where she was pulled over by police 12 times, she made it clear. She said, my ancestors did not hope and pray. They acted and organized. So what do we do here in Durango? What action or dedication makes sense for us in this time of national reckoning? What does our commitment to Unitarian Universalism require of us? Last year, we showed up for a weekend followed by an 8-session class, Beloved Conversations. The ending left many feeling pretty uncomfortable. I remember with a prescient sense my recent visit to Montgomery, Alabama, walking through the National Memorial for Peace and Justice, the commanding open-air museum dedicated to the history of lynching, a visceral confronting of the legacy of racial terror. It is powerful, moving, just horrific to walk through the 800 suspended steel slabs. This exists. The New York Times characterizes America as not being good with inconvenient memories. We have a hard time linking them to today's pain. And yet just this week, since the time that Reverend Karen Hutt offered her sermon, just this week, I see a tectonic shift. Have you seen the pictures of the crowds from not just cities here in the United States, but around the world? We can now say Black Lives Matter, and people are beginning to understand. Still, racial terror has become more covert. And we still see brutality carried out in the open. There is a kind of connected discomfort. I've heard of immune compromised individuals who reside in cities where people are marching. These folks long to be in the streets joining as they have done in protests past. High-risk folks say they can hear the crowds chanting outside their windows. Then there are certain physicians previously calling on us to stay at home and now telling people that they live in fear of something else too. Racism, discrimination, and violence against Black Americans. Where might our collective unease lead us? As your minister, I carry a responsibility for this community. I have unease, yet I am not asking you to represent this fellowship to march in the streets, to put your health in harm's way. I think we can do more good alive and healthy than we can contracting or spreading severe illness. I share that discomfort of not being out there, siding with love, but it might be worth applauding and supporting a newer generation who have shown up together. And if it's safe for you to be out there, I celebrate you. Just before the pandemic erupted, followed by the boiling over of George Floyd's death, only the latest in the long, long line of traumatic violent deaths designed to terrorize the Black population, our last day gathered together at UUFD in our building, at least 50 people sat together following the service, squeezed into Bowman Hall to read, to talk, to deepen into Robin DiAngelo's book, White Fragility, a Beacon Press book published by our Unitarian Universalist Publishing House. Our team was really thrilled at the turnout. Our plan then was to keep on digging into it, into responding to the book, to the ways white people have been swaddled all these years, and the years that came before that, into the white supremacist worldview that is the bedrock of our society. Our nation's history is one of genocide of the indigenous peoples that lived on this land before immigration, and one of horror for the people who were brought to this country, kidnapped and enslaved. But we know this. We've known it. We've struggled to respond, often centering an incomplete justice, an impotent hope, rather than addressing those inconvenient memories of our history. The pandemic halted our plans for our fruitful white fragility gatherings. Our leaders of that group were now in a steep learning curve of figuring out how to do everything all at once at home, parenting, teaching, working, playing, keeping the family safe. But with George Floyd's death and the nation's demonstrated disgust, we are energized again to consider how we might take up our learning imperfectly the best way we can. Zoom is a pain, and it misses nuances of the human presence, but it's the tool that we've got. We will bring back this class online, and we can have more people than we could fit into our fellowship hall. And what else? Right now, everywhere I look, there is something I can do, some way I can act, something I can read or learn. There are efforts demanding police accountability in process right now with our state lawmakers. They're going back to work on this bill on Monday. There's a beautiful recorded vigil that the UUA created. It's filled with beautiful, passionate inspiration and plans for action. I hear some of our people say that they stay away from the news. The TV may be addicting and over-political, so it may not be the go-to source. But I encourage you to seek the many written resources with thoughtful commentary and personal narratives or trauma theory and works written with intellectual depth. In her sermon from Minneapolis, Karen Hutt spoke of the kind of hope that's rooted in reality, not the one that we dream of. And I'm beginning to see some reality-based hope. I believe we've reached a real tipping point The fact that everywhere you look, Black Lives Matter is being explained again, and this time finally understood that Black bodies are in peril, not just in this moment, but through the generations. Awareness and understanding are trending and look to pour us over the edge. As Malcolm Gladwell reminds us, emotion is contagious. We've reached a tipping point where when military leaders who normally intentionally non-political are now speaking out against the reckless rhetoric of the current occupant of the Oval Office. Right here in Durango, even our beloved Maria's Bookstore is advertising their anti-racist book list. Maria's anti-racist book list. How cool is that? UUA choices for repair are all over the homepage of the website, like UU the Vote and actions that teach us to stop calling the police. There is bound to be discomfort. We've been sitting in it for a while now, and it's just about gross enough to make us move. Finally, I remember seeing the Star Trek USS Enterprise, right? Moving through space at warp speed while all the crew sat at the controls with nary a hairsprayed hair out of place, smooth and easy. In the current, more scientifically accurate show called The Expanse, the space travelers take focus drugs and they wear mouth guards to keep the body together as they make their rapid acceleration to warp speed. Maybe it's not just a tipping point. Our world is experiencing something more akin to The Expanse than Star Trek right now. We're moving fast. We need to strap in and hold tight. I feel some discomfort, understandable at this speed, but how could I miss being a part of the beauty that we create? Start where you can, where your distress doesn't paralyze you. The balm of where we're going is that we'll get there. We know we will. May it be so. I love you. Blessed be, and amen.